the beat goes on, yeah, is there no standard anymore?
Hodgeod's L.A. going solo. Brian Ingalls not here tonight. Doing some kind of cowboy function. Coming off a function last night. Got us free tickets. Got me some free tickets to USC game. USC Oregon State at the Coliseum. Some kind of VIP festivities where they shoved Coors Light Summer Brew in our face, which is the... Just thought about it, like, gag reflex. And it wasn't even like I was that hungover. I was throwing up, gag reflexing. Just the smell of that shit. I don't know how anybody can drink that stuff. Thank you. Shandy, what it's called. It's like a fucking lemonade, citrusy fucking... I don't get it. I don't understand how anybody mixes citrus with beer. Couldn't think of anything else that does not go together. I don't know how anybody puts that shit in Corona. Ugh. USC... I'm getting old, man. I'm a freaking curmudgeon. I go to the USC game, and first of all, it's a night game, which I can't stand. I prefer going to any sporting event. I prefer day games. Just much easier on my constitution. But I go to this SC game. You know, free tickets, so I can't complain, but I still will. It is amazing. The crowd, I know I'm probably isolating anybody who could be potentially listening to the show, but the USC crowd is annoying as fuck. Of course, that's probably any crowd. But I get to the game, sitting next to this middle-aged couple that must have taken 15 to 20 selfies, if you will, per quarter, and posting them, rechecking them together, erasing them, redoing their selfies, fucking acting like 16-year-old kids, and they're going to be 45, 50 years old. Awful. Nauseating. It's one of those things like you want to say something, but you don't want to come off as an absolute weirdo, but it just grinded my gears the whole time. The internet. Amazing thing. Can bring these middle-aged couples together and have them act like 17-year-olds. And then the girl in front of me, speaking of 17-year-olds, girl right in front of me, turns around, takes a selfie in the field of herself, with the field behind her, and no word of a lie, she spent the next 2.5 quarters cropping this fucking picture and posting it to various social media outlets. It wasn't like I was spying her. I'm just sitting right there, you know, over her shoulder. I saw the thing, so just amazing. I cannot stand the USC crowd. And then every college girl nowadays dresses like a freaking common prostitute. Oh, man, and I'm sounding like my mother. Getting the Irish Catholic freaking... You get to a certain point and you just can't stand anybody or anything. Not to mention the game was boring as all hell. All these games with the TV timeouts. Run a play, TV timeout. Kickoff, TV timeout. And when you're at home, it's a little different. You're at home, you go up, take a piss, go to the fridge, get a beer. At the game, it's like, fuck. You're sitting there watching these people take their selfies. Watching this girl crop this photo of her 50 different times. Not worth it. I don't know. And some people, and a lot of people, especially school like SC, their whole fucking social life is going to these games. That's it. In the fall, that's like a huge part of their identity. And obviously, you know, I've dedicated my adult life in one way or another to football, coaching it. All that shit and doing this. But what the fuck? Why would you turn your whole life over to freaking a college football game? It's amazing. People putting their whole lives around it with the tailgating and shit. And the whole fight on thing. Ugh. I don't get it. I don't get the Coliseum either. I don't get USC. I said before, I don't know why anybody would go there. It's a fucking ghetto, man. I don't know why anybody would want to go to school there. Or go to a game there. I mean, you know, you take the wrong left turn, you're in the freaking boys in the hood. I said that once to an SC fan, and he accused me of being a racist. I thought that was kind of funny, but it's true. The fuck? This South Central LA, isn't that what boys in the hood is? Maybe that's Compton. I don't know. Seems like the same thing to me. Really not probably that far. I would think South Central LA and Compton aren't that far away from each other. Mile? There you go. Exactly. So what the fuck? I wasn't that far off base. Thank you. Speaking of South Central, Jameis Winston. I don't think that's really a segue, but I could see Jameis Winston coming. That's a racist statement. Not really. I didn't mean it that way. I think Jameis Winston could be from South Central LA. You know, he looks like a bigger version of Chris Tucker. Chris Tucker from Friday, and I believe that's South Central there anyway. Supposedly, Jameis Winston's lawyer approached this young lady, offered to pay her $7 million to shut the fuck up about the sexual assault. She comes back. She comes back and says, well, wait, time out. They come back and say she demanded it. You know, he said, she said. What I want to know is, first of all, if this girl's completely making this shit up and she's doing it for money, how come she hasn't sold her story or shown her face yet to TMZ? It's the same thing I said about Kobe Bean Bryant. For my friends listening out there who I'm sure have heard this argument many times. The woman, if she was just out to get money from Kobe Bean Bryant, don't they think she would have sold a story to somebody? We've never seen her this day. Google search that shit. You still can't see her. Oh, you might. I don't know. I did that a while ago and couldn't see her. But my point is, I don't think they're just making it up. And people are like, oh, sure. Well, then why don't you see it more often? Why don't you see, if that was a case and it was that easy to just make up a story about a guy and make money, you would see it all the time, but you don't see it that often. It's kind of a blaming the victim type thing. You certainly get that with Kobe Bean. People love to, oh, no, no. Of course, I've subscribed to the Howard Stern theory. Kobe Bryant was having consensual sex with this young lady for the first 8 inches anyway. Hey, now, enough about basketball. Although I have to get this one basketball thing in because what the fuck? It's my show. I can talk about what the hell I want. Rajon Rondo breaks his fucking hand slipping in the shower. Come on, kid. Slipping in the shower? What are you, fucking 85 years old? It's like, what, 27, 28-year-old elite athlete slipping in the shower? Yet 2 days before he reported, he was reported being seen at a trampoline park for his daughter's birthday. Yeah, trampoline park is like the devil's playground. People get hurt. I don't know why trampolines are legal. I want to make weed illegal and all that. Fucking make trampolines illegal. More people get hurt on that shit than, I don't know. If you're going to make an analogy, at least have a nugulous point. But that's the point. They're fucking people get hurt all the time on that shit. Jabba Chamberlain blew his knee out, broke his leg on a fucking trampoline. Refused to get on one. Never. But Rajon's freaking telling us that he slipped in the shower. Enough. Tried to like him for years, and there's moments where I really appreciate his craft. Done with him. Done talking about basketball, too. Back on college football. Games were, there's a few all right games. Penn State getting blown out versus Northwestern. At homecoming, 29-6. Of course, a couple years out, that is where the sanctions start to show their ugly head, although they've lifted them because now Penn State's doing the right thing. The culture's changed. Now they are no longer pro, you know, pederast, pro child rape. Now they've sinned, you know, amend for their sins. I don't know. I've talked enough about that. They got blown out. Christian Hackenberg looked awful. My homie friggin' Ricky Ronnie, who split on me last second on this show. Not this week, but in the offseason, he was a quarterback coach, passing game coordinator. Struggling up front. But really, you look at any team at any level that's not successful or is underachieving, they're having issues up front. 9 times out of 10, that's the problem. It's very rare you have dominant fronts, both offensively and defensively. Really good offensive and defensive fronts would not be good. You could be average, but if you're dominating the line of scrimmage, you know, the old adage goes, game's won up front, and it's very true. Any team, pro level, you just look at all these teams that are having any problems. That's up front. Speaking of Jameis Winston, Florida State got a little scare in them. I don't know what these people were even talking about, but I can swear they said, and I rewound it, the first time Florida State had ever played at North Carolina State. Must be that venue. Must be that new stadium. Must be a new stadium or something. Anyway, North Carolina State's giving it to him. I jump in the shower. I come out. Florida State scores 21 points in the fucking amount of time it took him to shower. And he even rubbed one out in the shower, so it probably took me like 7-8 minutes tops in the shower. I come out. There were 21 points, like nothing. It's the thing with a team like FSU, they're so explosive. What else do we got? Oh, game day signs, always fun. Someone got in trouble, had a Michael Sam, couldn't even handle them cocks. Oh. Of course, the comments. I love comments. I love comments and all this shit. I just click on articles and scroll right to comments sometimes. People, oh, you're a homophobe. How is that homophobic? How is that being afraid of gay people by having a sign that says, Michael Sam couldn't handle them cocks? You're making fun of them. What's wrong with making fun of gay people? Swear. Enough of that. I've talked about that at length before. My homie Charlie Weiss, out of a job. 2-2 this year. Shit, this is into his third year as head coach at Kansas. 6-22. He's won 2 games this year, and he's out. After losing 23-0 versus Texas, he's out. Oh, poor Charlie. It seemed like yesterday, got the job at Notre Dame and was telling all the recruits that we were going to have a decided schematic X and O advantage with Charlie fucking calling the shots. They've been terrible, Kansas. Started off like a ball of fire at Notre Dame, but those weren't his recruits, I guess. No one's ever really going to win at Kansas. They had that moment there with Mangino where they were all right. And they had Aqib Talib, a few other players in that team. They're never going to have any consistency there. No football players out there. It's a basketball school. Charlie Dunn. Somebody would do themselves a service hiring him as the offensive coordinator. As I reiterate, he was the one calling the plays when the Patriots won 3 Super Bowls, all 3 of them. Charlie Tuna had it in him. He was the one calling the plays. Why Bill just sat there with his arms crossed and his hoodie. Harumph. This boy of my blood even more. Patriots were 1-3 that season before Tom Brady took over the helm. Where was the genius then? Or the genius for the year before that when the Patriots were, 7-9? The genius of Bill Belichick. They were 11-5 with Matt Castle. They didn't even make the playoffs, and their defense was dominant. And Matt Castle's not the worst. Certainly not the best. Oh, Charlie. Bring back Charlie Weiss. I'd eventually have Charlie Weiss calling plays and Josh McDaniels. I don't know. It seems like the game's passed Charlie by. It seems like just watching him and listening to him talk, it just seems like the fire is gone. The thrill is gone, Charlie. Get a high school coaching job. See if you can really do it. I challenge all these guys. These quote-unquote decided schematic advantage guys. Get a high school job. Get a shit high school job. Worst high school team you can find. Give yourself 3 years. See if you can turn it around. See if you're a real good coach then. When you just get the players handed to you. You're not signing them. You're not recruiting them. It's what you got. Make it happen. None of them do it. None of them ever dropped down to high school. Shit, Sean Payton dropped down to Pop Warner and got his ass kicked by a single win team. Don't want to get off the college game quite yet. Charlie, let's hybrid. Let's merge the two. Charlie Strong coming down the Texas players. 9 suspensions since he's taken over. Foolish. It sounds good. It looks good, everyone. Oh, Charlie Strong's got his no-nonsense policy. What's that policy called? The core values. Now Roger Goodell is meeting with Charlie Strong, talking about the core values. How you could take character and respect over talent. The core values are honesty. Treat women with respect. No drugs, no stealing, no weapons. Obviously, Charlie Strong's not familiar with the Second Amendment, but I'm not going to get into that. I get it. No weapons. Honesty. Oh, Charlie, you're barking up the wrong tree. You obviously think that this is going to get you some points. Same type of things with the comments. You scroll down the comments. Good for Charlie Strong doing the right things. Publicity stunt. please, if character, honor, and respect were the traits that make a good football team, the final four of you would be Army, Air Force, Navy, and the Citadel. That's not what we're in. The violent fucking game. Why don't these people stop sugarcoating it? Football is played well by mean, violent people. Now, I'm not saying you let them disrespect women, and there are rules in place for that. But to go off and just start chopping people off the program. That's what Charlie Weiss did to go back. He walked into the Kansas, and right off the bat, he got rid of 25 guys. Look what that got him, fired. They will not be shocked to see anything happens to Charlie Strong. It's nice, run around, say discipline. People love that. People love yelling that from the stands. Like, discipline! Now, how much discipline it takes to get your fucking beer belly fucking size 45 waist, 46 waist. How much discipline did that take you? People love that discipline. It's really fucking nastiness. Violence is really the fucking key word. Just try to keep these guys in check. And, you know, unlike the graduating from Texas anyway, few and far between those kids are graduating. That's not what it's all about. At that, it's the nature of the beast. It's the way the monster is. Are you fucking kidding? Great education. Give me a fucking break. You see the class load that these students couldn't possibly. And there, obviously, there'd be exceptions to that rule. There are guys who do get their education. But the majority of those kids, they don't. They don't spend the kid between football and all the old bullshit traveling and shit that they do. I get an education. Give me a fucking break. Who are we fooling? It's a joke. It's big business. It doesn't get any bigger than Michigan. Number 127th ranked program in the nation, the Michigan Wolverines. Oh, boy. Brady Hoke. It's just patently obvious. Brady Hoke will be fired, and Jim Harbaugh will be the next coach in Michigan. There's no way that's not happening. Brady Hoke looks like he'd be better served being a sidekick to some kind of Jim Belushi sitcom on ABC Family. Kind of the wacky neighbor. Brady Hoke would come walking in. Hey, guys. Jim Belushi's best friend. Oh, he's useless. He has no plays in his hand. He's not calling any plays. No headsets. So he has no idea what's going on. Fucking big fat cheerleader. Ugh. Walking around. Terrible. No reason Michigan should be that bad. And then he has the audacity to come out and say, well, I think we're still going to win the Big Ten. Maybe because the Big Ten's so poor. He left the quarterback, the kid Morrison. So like he could barely even fucking stand, and they left him in the game. They talk about concussions. This is actually one thing I'm fairly empathetic with the NFL with. It all gets pushed uphill. Like these players have never gotten concussions before until they got to the NFL. Yet Brady Hoke rolls his quarterback out there and came and stand. Good video from the Ohio State game. Strength coach Anthony Schlegel with a freaking body slam, power slam on a student body member running the field. I love that shit. And grabbed him by the freaking lapel and threw him out like a fucking cartoon, like a bouncer from a cartoon, grabbed him by the belt and the freaking collar of the shirt and tossed him to the sideline. It's fantastic. And that was the highlight of the college week. I fucking didn't have the energy to watch too many of the games. Enough problems watching these fucking pro games and keeping up with their pro scandals. Speaking of scandals, not really a scandal. Rob Baronis, the kicker, whom we talked about last week, died, ran his truck off the road. Now it's coming out that he was erratically driving and driving with road rage and threatened some 20-year-old kid. And the story goes real quick. The 20-year-old kid and with his buddies told him to roll down his window because he had something coming out of his exhaust and told him something's coming out of his exhaust. And Rob Baronis essentially said, fuck you, I'm going to kill you, and tried to run the kids off the road. And then he tried to run another lady and her husband off the road. To which I say, you know what? Rob Bruno's got what he deserved. Fuck that. You don't try to kill other people on the road. That ain't cool. That ain't cute. You know? Okay, so we had a breakdown. Fuck. Okay. You still don't try to kill other people. Oh, he was mentally disturbed. Okay. I don't know anybody who's not mentally disturbed who's going to kill someone else. It's a fucking cop-out. I guess having Terry Bradshaw as a father-in-law would drive a man crazy. That's a fucking weird story. His wife called the police at 10:30 at night on a Saturday night reporting a missing persons because he wasn't in his room sleeping. She thought he was. Which begs the question, possibly he was on some, you know, and that would be fascinating as well if he was on Ambien. Because you hear about shit like that. You know, you sit at home enough on Friday nights and watch Dateline. You see shit like that about how people take Ambien and just friggin' lose their mind and just go out and do shit. Possibly what happened with Peronis. Supposedly there was no sign of alcohol use. Of course, the comments, once again, never fail. This is an example of an NFL player with brain damage. Oh, come on. He's a fucking kicker. I mean, I have respect for kickers to an extent, but they're not slamming their heads in there. Shit, fucking most kickers up until the last 15 years were just that one bar face mask, which I still fucking, even though Joe Theismann can piss me off and he's a little fucking holier than now, motherfucker wore one bar across his face. His leg got broken. Funny that his face didn't get smashed in. Imagine a guy trying to pull that off. Now, I don't even think that's legal. I don't even think you can wear a one bar face mask. I'm sure there's some kind of rule against that these days. Not that should be. Fuck. Can't escape the Ray Rice shit. Of course, Bill Simmons, whom I've spoken about on the program, comes out and runs his mouth and calls Roger Goodell a fucking liar. Wait a minute, I've been calling Roger Goodell a fucking liar for months. Nothing happens to me. Well, I'm sure I don't have the contract Bill Simmons is. First of all, fuck that. Bill Simmons is an idiot. I've said it before. He's a fucking rich prep school kid, one of those guys who's just a little bit smarter than you, but fucking everything's really smug. You know, and I'm straight. I don't want to read a fucking 10,000-word article comparing, you know, the Charlotte Hornets to fucking Caddyshack 2, whatever the fuck that guy does. Enough of that. His articles are way too long. You know, I'm sure he's a decent enough guy to have a beer with, but he's one of those guys you have a few beers with, and by the end of the night, you're like, fuck this guy. I want to punch him in the teeth. But he's calling out Goodell, which, you know, I get. And he's just so brazen to call out his bosses. I dare you. I dare you. One time I sided with ESPN. Good for them. I'm like, okay, fuck you. Suspend you. Of course, they're probably going to pay him anyway. But there's no way Goodell's, you know, he's got to know that for a fact that Goodell's lying. It's willful ignorance is what it is. They knew if they looked at the video, they were going to see something. And Goodell's homie, what's his name there? Steve Bush, whatever. The guy who owns the fucking Ravens. His buddy, that's willful ignorance. The same thing he said wasn't an excuse with the Saints and Sean Payton. Ignorance is not an excuse. It's the same fucking thing. Look at my flip-flopping. I'm flip-flopping on everything. Now I'm defending Sean Payton. Quasi-defending Roger Goodell. The hell am I doing? But it's true. The Ray Rice camp, this fucking... Look, I think the NFL obviously could have gotten the tape if they wanted to get the tape and they really pushed it. But there's no way Goodell is that fucking stupid to put a $35 million a year job on the line over this. It's amazing. And I love it, Bud Light. Bud Light and their sanctimony. And I'm I'm the biggest Bud Light fan going. Just had six of them. They're fucking, whoa. The NFL's going to clean up their act. Of course, lo and behold, I'm watching the commercials today. Warren Sapp on the Up for Whatever campaign. Warren Sapp and some fan of the Buccaneers. Of course, Warren Sapp had his own 2010 domestic battery arrest. Charges dropped. Key difference? Wasn't on videotape. He probably did it at his house. Doubt if he did the same exact thing Ray Rice did. But he just didn't connect as cleanly. But he did it. And he's in the hole for $1 million child support. So he said, let me see. So Bud Light's going to say they're going to pull their sponsorships from the NFL because of this Ray Rice thing. But then they're going to turn around and probably pay Warren Sapp, I don't know, at least a couple hundred G's for a guy who's beating a woman and is a deadbeat dad and had made several threats to players during his playing day. All types of issues, but they're going to do that. Hypocrisy. Thy name is Anheuser-Busch, but I can't stay mad at you. I can't stay mad at Anheuser-Busch. I can take it on the NFL. I can have that love-hate relationship, but my Bud Light, Budweiser relationship is nothing but love. Speaking of love, Steve Smith Sr., the first guy I've ever seen with a senior in the back of his jersey, because he's a dad. So he's on higher moral ground. He's a father, you know. So, you know, oh, he's a father. Okay. Well, he's on higher moral ground, Steve Smith. Motherfucking Rickon lit up the Panthers today. Gotta give it to him. Guy said, did what he's gonna do. Why did Patriots fucking get that guy? Two guys the Patriots should have went after, and they're right in their mold of guys under 6 feet. Steve Smith and Darren Sproles. Two guys that just make plays no matter what. And you could have got them cheap. Fifth round draft choice for Darren Sproles, I believe. That's too rich for the Patriots' blood. Steve Smith tearing it up. Panthers just, I don't know. Cam Newton, just, to me, he's at least a prototypical looking quarterback. And it just is something, there's a flaw in his game. There's a hole in his game. And I haven't watched him enough to really be able to put my finger on it. Of course, I read something that says he's a little dinged up, so he can't run as well as he used to. Of course, Steve Smith said, and I believe anything Steve Smith Sr. says, he's a father. Steve Smith said Cam Newton was dumb, couldn't make decisions. And that was going to be the Achilles heel, and that was his problem. And that's more than plausible. That appears to me to be the same problem with Geno Smith after watching the Jets today. I watched the games today on that NFL game day mix. So it was like five of them, six of them going on. And they're little freaking squares and just eyes dotted around. I kind of like that. You know, I get a good feel for it because the Patriots weren't on this morning. I'd much rather just watch one game, focus my energy on one game. And that Jets Lions game was a game I focused on. You know, a divisional opponent and people saying all these things about the Lions. Neither way, either one of those teams do anything at the end of the year anyways. But it seems to be Geno Smith just seems to be, and I've spoken highly of him. I think he has a lot of tools. Throws a great ball, can run. Just think he's not the brightest guy. And that's underrated. That's an underrated thing. I shouldn't say it's underrated. That's everything. Guy needs to be able to make decisions quickly. I don't think Geno has that. Then you watch Detroit. Detroit's playing great defense now. Funny. They had a defensive-minded head coach for a number of years. What's his name? Schwartz. Jim Schwartz. May Schwartz be with you. And they were middle of the road defensively. Now they go and get an offensive-minded coach. And now they're what? Second best defense in the league? Maybe the best now? I tell you though, when those fuckers Fairley and Sue, those D tackles, decide they want to play, you can't block those two. You know, those guys, they're so up and down, the both of them, but they're both premier athletes at that position. And when they decide they want to turn it on, you can't block them. They're in your backfield. Speaking of Sue, there's a friggin' story going around today. I don't even know how stuff like this can even get printed. This is it. He's done with the Lions. He's leaving the Lions, and he's going to go to a New York team. That's it. Sorry, kid. I'm going to a New York team. I figured he just decided. Isn't some kind of contract negotiation going to take place? You know, he's just going to decide to go to New York. What if neither one of the New York teams want him? Or can afford him, for that matter? Makes no sense. He just, oh, now he's going to New York. I'm going to write about this. That's happening, kid. Sorry. I don't know. I don't I don't get how a story like that could be put out there. Speaking of putting out stories, this Ian Rappaport guy just is freaking, just a rumor monger. Talking about the disruptive force of Steve Smith in the locker room. And how Smith basically dared the Panthers to cut him. And also, what was the other Ian Rappaport story? Escapes me. I don't want to even think about it. But he had some other gossipy story. I think he was the guy who reported the Sue thing as well. Oh, Ian Rappaport. These guys who make all this money reporting on this shit. Man, almost as much money as Erin Andrews. Oh, she's the worst. Can't stand her. They break to her on the sideline today. And she's like, the Lions defense, defense. Oh, they let her get away with that shit. Oh, just because she's good looking. She's not even that good looking. I mean, of course she's good looking, but fuck, she's not any better looking than your average actress. Oh, I digress. NFL on the verge of making personal fouls reviewable. Thank God. That's the fucking best idea I've heard them come up with in months. They need to make that shit reviewable. It's just out of control. And the defensive holding penalties are out of control. Not quite as bad as the preseason, but they're everywhere. Holding in general, I've had more than my fair share of, points on holding, which bit us in the ass 3 times. Such an arbitrary fucking thing. Holding should be fucking reviewable. To be honest with you, all penalties should be reviewable if they're going to do this with the personal fouls. Fucking all penalties. Still a challenge. Still something they're going to go back and look at. It's not like they're going to get multiple challenges. They're still limited in their challenges. The time in the game isn't going to be extended. No, they spend that on their fucking up for whatever commercials with Warren Sapp. Yeah, they could fucking cut the time of the games way down. Of course, they don't want to. Make them every fucking penalty reviewable. Okay, it's like baseball. All the calls are reviewable in baseball. And they just started doing this shit. I don't know why. I don't know what the thought process is. You're going to, the integrity of the referee. Fuck, pass interference calls are the biggest calls in games. Holding penalties can be 50, 60-yard penalties, net penalties. Shit, it was against us the other day. We had 2 holding penalties on plays of over 30 yards, and they were both disputable. Not fucking holding. But you're seeing it. You're seeing these defensive hold calls all the time. Big thing about that, automatic first down. So my point is, I think they should make personal fouls reviewable. How about that? Chris Baker fined $10,000, not for taking the shot on Nick Foles, which is perfectly legal, albeit maybe not preferable for the league. But hey, violent game, whistle had not been blown. Just because he's the quarterback, he could easily make a tackle on your player who just made the interception. It happens. Got to tell him, they're like, oh, he could have been seriously hurt on that. No. Guys don't get hurt on that. Actually, I could think of one. Warren Sapp on Chad Clifton, where he took that same type of, quote-unquote cheap shot, which kind of is, but I'm a defensive guy, so and we don't see it being the case. But he took that shot on Chad Clifton, and he got hurt. And then Mike Sherman went at him at the end of the game. He told him his chicken shit or something. Warren Sapp barked back at him, some kind of gibberish. And of course, Mike Sherman, after the game in his press conference, what did he say? He said something along the lines of, if I didn't have a kid and a conscience, there it is again, hiding behind the kid. He's on a higher moral ground because he has a kid. There's no way he could possibly be an asshole. I have a child. It's like 80% of all women in jail have kids. So, Hitler didn't have kids, so I have a child. Oh, I would have beat up Warren Sapp. I don't think you would have, Mike Sherman, especially at that point. Anyways, fucking digressing again. All over the place. And let me come clean here for a second. Buddy of mine gave me, he has ADHD, gave me some Adderall the other day. So I took one about, I don't know, 3 hours ago. And I can only say this. One, it's overrated. Okay, I'd rather just pound a couple monsters or a couple cups of coffee. And two, you're going to be a complete asshole to take it at the risk of being suspended in the NFL. Talking to you, Wes Welker. Brandon Browner, Seattle Seahawks. Not that fucking good. Maybe I just don't react with it. I mean, look, it's okay. I would take it again if someone gave it to me. But I'm not going to go out of my way to get them. Let's put it that way. So, there. Take that, Wes Welker. I swear when I was watching the NFL mix, at one point I saw, with the six games on, within about 2 minutes, I saw four bad shotgun snaps. Drive killers. And look at, I believe, and it has a lot of merits for shotgun, snapping on the shotgun. It adds a dimension to your game, especially if you're going to run the quarterback. But not enough teams come on the center. Again, my game, again this week, the team I coach, they're at the one-yard line. They're in shotgun. Now, granted, this could have happened on a center as well, but if they go on a center and sneak it, it's a touchdown. Quarterback sneak is the most underrated play in football. Because when you need to do it, it's a huge play. You're going for it on fourth down. Yet nobody likes to practice it. And a lot of teams nowadays are just skewing it and going shotgun. Anyways, in our game, boom, they dropped. They didn't drop the snap, but they bobbled the handoff. He caught it. Didn't get the handoff clean. Our kid, boom, popped it up. 99 yards, touchdown the other way. Anyway, bad shotgun snaps being seen all the time. Clemson lost that game to Florida State. They were on the one-yard line as well. Bad snap over the quarterback's head. Shotgun at the one. That kid was getting death threats all week. Kind of laugh about it because they laughed at the people out there that fucking dumb. They're going to give a 20-year-old kid death threats because of a bad snap. Fight on. The same people who fucking live the SC. College football fans are fucking something else, man. Telling you, there's something about them. It's that much worse. Almost like soccer hooligan fans, educated hooligans. Speaking of soccer fans and hooligans, Miami and Oakland and London. Oakland looked bad. Tell you, Al wouldn't stand for this. If Al was still around, this Dennis Allen guy would have been gone a long time ago. Rightfully so. What does Dennis Allen bring to the table? Nothing. Good to see Matty McGloin finally getting a shot, though. You know, Carr's hurt now. McGloin's going to actually play. I guarantee you he's successful. Relatively. Although at this point, the Raiders should just hope to go 0-16. Fuck that. You know, the season's over. They're not going to the playoffs. Get the first pick. Draft Marcus Mariota. And there you go. Marcus Mariota, Raiders, over. Over Mariota. Teddy Bridgewater. Mr. Teddy Bridgewater. Making his debut today. The Vikings. Ripping out the Falcons. Threw for 300-something yards. Put 40 points on the board. Good for Teddy. The guy I was touting number one pick. For at length last year. Prognosticator of prognosticators. Teddy Bridgewater looking the role. Good. The Bridgewater era is here. He looks good in that purple Vikings jersey. Practically matches his skin color. Oh, wait, that's racist. Calling, saying the guy has purple skin. But people don't say I have red skin all the time. Because they say I have red skin. It's cool. I'm supposed to sit and take it. Oh, your face is all red. But if I say that black guy has purple skin, I'm a racist. I don't know how that works. But I love Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not a fucking racist. You kidding me? Awesome. I hope he does well with the Vikings. I like the Vikings playing at the University of Minnesota Stadium, the outdoor stadium. Looks nice now. Wait a couple months. Wouldn't be a week without Peyton whining about Felton. Peyton Manning whining about overtime rules. And of course, when Peyton whines, it becomes a story. I would not be surprised if they change the overtime rules again next year. Because Peyton asked for it. Like they did with the defensive holding. Last two times Peyton complained about defensive holding in 2005, the Patriots. 2004, the Patriots. And lo and behold, next year it becomes a point of emphasis. Last year with the Seahawks, complained about the defensive holding. Now we're saddled with this shit product of watching defensive holding being called every other series. Big first downs. Now Peyton whining about OT. He wants to put in the coin toss. No shit. Well, how else do you want to do? You want to do college rules? My boy Jimmy Johnson. Can't believe I just referenced him as my boy. But I respect Jimmy Johnson. You can't whine about that. Play fucking defense. You know? It's a fucking team game. Stop him. How about that? Kick an onside kick then. If you know that. They're still giving you the chance to match a field goal. Play better in the 60 minutes that they give you. Fucking rules are fine. The overtime rules are fine. You're going to give them a... I mean, how long do you want these games to go as fans? You're already there fucking 3.5-4 hours. Shit, in most cases, with the tailgating and stuff, you're there for 6 hours. You want to just keep going with the games like baseball? Oh, extra innings. Keep on going. Rain delay. Keep on going. Fuck that. It needs to end. Games need to end, right? You can't that's the system, and it's actually fine. And they had this big, Howie Long of all people say, oh, they need to change it, Fuck that. Play defense, Howie. For Christ's sake. Oh, what else do I got? I feel like I'm missing all types of things. I always feel like I'm missing all types of things. J.J. Watt, the golden boy. J.J. Watt is the golden child in the NFL. It's nice to see a defensive lineman kind of take that from the quarterbacks that have owned it. This 90-yard interception return today, which will be played ad nauseum throughout the night. I got to get out of here pretty soon, too. I got to watch this Family Guy Simpsons crossover episode. Of course, I'm recording it, but... what does that have to do with anything? Phillip Rivers, so underrated, he's overrated at this point. We can't watch anything related to Phillip Rivers when they're not calling him underrated. So I was like, all right, I get it. He's underrated. I get it. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. Still a good quarterback. San Diego's rolling, looking good. Of course, they beat Jacksonville today. Blake Bortles making his debut. Think about the difference between Blake Bortles and Teddy Bridgewater making their debuts. Guys who are going to be good quarterbacks in the NFL. Imagine if Manziel made his debut today. Fucking all they would have talked about. Ray Rice, Johnny Manziel. Roger Goodell. Ray Rice, Johnny Manziel. You know, it's funny. They just give guys free passes. You know, Bridgewater, Bortles. But Manziel does a couple things with his fingers. Has a couple pictures of him taken while he's drinking. Fucking biggest news in the league. Oh, I hope they don't freaking drive him out of the league. Oh, Johnny. Oh, Johnny will have his good games and he'll have his bad games as well. What a great blog post. I don't know who pays these fucking people on the internet to bring and write these things. But this guy wrote a hell of a blog post. I don't even know his name, so I'm not going to get credit for it. But he took percentage of quarterbacks in the last, 20 years or 15 years? Percentage of their good games versus their bad games, with the criteria for their good games to be 66.6 QB rating, and he spelled out the criteria. I want to bore you with minutia. But it was a 66 quarterback rating or under for a game, and percentage of those games that you had. It took the guys who had the least amount of those games and the most amount of those games. And it pretty much stands to reason. Guys, in order of having the lowest percentage of bad games. Aaron Rodgers, 7%. Tom Brady, 11%. Philip Rivers, 11.7%. Peyton, 12.6%. Tony Romo, 13%. That stands to reason. There's not that many other quarterbacks. Of course, I don't know if Russell Wilson was in that. Now I go back and look at that. But other than Russell Wilson, those are the five guys I think I'd want if we were going to go play a game. You know, there's no one else in there that would take over those guys. It stands to reason those guys that are not having bad games. Guys who have had the highest percentage of bad games. The Sanchez, Mark Sanchez, number one. Well, no, excuse me. Rex Grossman was number one. At 42% of his games were considered bad games. Mark Sanchez, number two at 40%. Alex Smith, third. I don't like Alex Smith. I know some fans of the program are huge Alex Smith fans. Third, 32% of his games. Mike Vick, another guy I'm a fan of. 30% of his games. He was fourth. And fifth was Eli Manning. 29% of his games are considered to be bad games. So I guess like a quality start, bad start type thing. You know, put it in baseball terms. Makes sense, though. I'm not surprised at any of those guys on there. Possibly Eli. That motherfucker. Eli would have been considered a bust if it wasn't in those two fucking super fucking goddamn. Oh, anytime I think about that shit, it just makes my blood boil. Fucking Eli Manning fucking plays like shit and fucking throws these fucking... Enough of that. I don't know why I brought that up if I was going to work myself into a lather over that shit. Speaking of lather, it's fucking 95 degrees in here. I'm fucking sweating now. Ugh. Only a couple more minutes and I'm out of here. San Fran Philly was a game I actually sat down and watched for the most part. Philly's fucking overrated. San Fran would have blew him out if it wasn't for a couple lucky plays. Chip Kelly's overrated, too. He's not changing the fucking game. A good college coach has good college principles. But they're so uncreative in the run game, though, watching Philly. And they like to run the football. The deal with San Fran, they're very creative in the run game. And then they just abandon it in points in the game. That's what I don't get about San Fran. They look great running the ball, and then just going to stop running the ball. Have Kappa pick throw the ball. Fucking. Oh, they should run him more. Fuck that. They should just run him more. Run him into the ground. Go for it all. You can cut him if he gets hurt. What do they care? San Fran coming back to winning that game. 26-21. Oh, you know, there's a lot of San Fran fans in the area. Oh, just wait. San Fran's had a run of success. I can't see them getting back to the NFC Championship or Super Bowl. But what the hell do I know? I picked the Atlanta Falcons last year to go to the Super Bowl. Now I think they're going to win five games. I hope they win five games. Yeah, they're better than that. They're going to win more than five games. They'll probably go 10-6, sneak in the playoffs, get blown out in the first round. All right. Speaking of fucking blown out, I'm blown out. I'm fucking sweating. Although, last thing I need to talk about, I fucking can't believe they're advertising this FanDuel thing. And I'm snoozing on it. I need to get on this 1 week fantasy league things where you can gamble. You're playing with real money and they're advertising this shit on TV. Fucking awesome. I need to get in on it. But talk about potentially fucking dangerous. Holy shit. People are going to be addicted to this shit. They're going to be fucking all these fantasy football players with a little bit of money. Instead of just calling up a bookie and gambling, they're going to go on this site. You know, you're addicted to this. Fuck, people are going to be buried in it. Because it's like internet, so it's like play money. It's not like you're meeting fucking Hank Santini in the corner of, you know, at Eli's trying to, oh, I only got a couple hundred. Hank, I know I owe you. Threatening to take your thumbs. No, it's all fucking internet. Oh, transfer money. They advertise that shit on fucking TV for NFL advertising. Gambling. It's like having a fucking commercial for a bookie on TV. No, it's nothing. It's nothing, you know. What do we, you know, in the holier than now, NFL, they suspend guys for a year for smoking weed, even though smoking weed is legal in what? How many states is smoking weed legal in now? No, it's more than that, isn't it? Medical. Right, but fully legal, it's Washington. With more states coming down the pipe. And fully legal. I mean, the medical, and the medical's bullshit. I went in and got a card, and I'm like, oh, I got a sore neck. Lady fucking wrote me out a card, and is like, you know, it's bullshit. So when you tell me these players don't have fucking sore backs and injuries that they can't just go in and get a card. But no, the NFL is going to suspend a guy for a year for that. You know, but we'll advertise gambling, which I guarantee that website will cripple someone. I guarantee that it will fucking ruin hundreds of people's lives financially. It's too easy not to get caught up in that shit. Oh, I digress. Pats preview for tomorrow. Very nervous, but these are the types of games the Pats find a way. These are the types of games, you know, like I don't know if they're underdogs, but their back's against the wall a little bit because they haven't played well against bad teams. Against average teams, they have not played well. Going into Kansas City tomorrow. And friend of the program, Slush for Dead, is going in the game as well. So we'll see. He's usually bad luck. So I don't know if that's a good sign or not for the Patriots. But I don't know. I just worry about the pass rush. My homie Tamaha Lee coming off the edge. I don't know if the Patriots can handle it. We'll see. That's how they play the games. I got a bye week this week in football. Thank God. Fucking nice to have a Friday night. It's fucking, you know, in football season, it's just a long day. You wait all day after school, and then you get the game at night, and you're bringing all the bullshit. You don't get home till midnight. Go screeching out of the parking lot at 3:15 now on Friday. I feel like the last day of school, summer school, last day of school for the summer. All right, anything else I want to talk about? That's it. My fucking voice is going. I'm fucking sweating. I'm ready to fucking go. No. Nah, forget it. I'm done. All right, that's it. I'm the coach. Follow us on Twitter. I will see you next week with bells on. Rest.